He's been called the father of the modern American short story. I'm referring to Edgar Allan Poe, best known, of course, for writing horror stories. But he also had a series of detective stories similar to, what the British writer Sir Arthur Conan Doyle did when he made all of those stories that included his sleuth, Sherlock Holmes. But Poe named his detective Inspector C. Auguste Dupin. And he said it in Paris, these stories. Dupin, like Holmes, was the most brilliant crime fighter and detective in his country. Fictional, of course. My favorite of these stories is one Poe called The Purloined Letter. Fancy word, purloined, simply means stolen, the stolen letter. And in the story, a clever thief steals a letter right out from under the nose of a high-ranking politician who the thief visits, steals this letter right off his desk. A very important letter because it can implicate this politician in a very grave scandal. And of course, the thief intends to blackmail the politician with the letter. So the Paris police force get to work. Now, this thief has a regular job. He works nights. And so every night when the thief goes out to his job, in come the police force. And they tear the apartment apart. And they search it night after night, and they go through the most unlikely and secretive of hiding places where the letter might be hidden. And every night they fail, and every night they have to put the apartment back together again before the thief gets home. So after a few of these failed attempts, they finally... And why is it that they have to go through so many failed attempts before they finally call in the guy who can solve the crime? Dupin. Enter Dupin. It's a private detective who's asked to come in on the case. I suppose it's the police force's pride. And so Dupin says, I'll take it on. And so he goes during the day when he knows that the thief is going to be at home. And he introduces himself and he sits down, has a cup of coffee or tea, makes some small talk. He's not there very long, and then he excuses himself and leaves. And he goes to the police, and he says, you will find the letter. He says, it's crumpled up right in the front office. It's crumpled up in a ball, thrown in a mail slot above the desk of the thief. See, the thief was clever enough to hide it in plain sight, so to speak. Make it look like trash. Make it look ordinary and unimportant. So ordinary and unimportant, in fact, that the police never even bothered to look at it. Today's gospel reading is St. John's powerful account about Jesus curing the man born blind. The man goes from complete darkness to physical sight. And spiritually, he sees more and more clearly exactly who Jesus is. It's a gradual process. Once his eyes are opened, he sees Jesus as... And that's why we did the long reading. He first identifies Jesus as a holy man. How could an unholy man do such things? And then with the back and forth with the Pharisees, he says, he's a prophet. And then at the end, he declares himself to be one of his disciples because he says, do you, to the Pharisees, want to become his disciple too? So the long reading shows us the growth, spiritual growth of the man born blind. His eyes are open more and more to Jesus, whom he finally acknowledges as Lord and Messiah when Jesus says, he is speaking to you. The one who cured you is he. I do believe, Lord. And the conversion is complete. And we too may have experienced in our lives, even us cradle Catholics, who were raised in the faith, it's very important that we too, at some point, have a deepening of our faith, where our eyes are open more widely to the truths of the gospel and to the person of Jesus, and we fall in love with him more, and we follow him with more fervor. And that's great. Well, the trick is if we could feel that way continually all the time for the rest of our lives. However, in our humanity, we have to look at how we might relate to some other people in today's gospel reading. Other people who suffer terrible spiritual blindness and refuse to let Jesus cure them. Of course, I'm talking about the Pharisees. They see physically, but they are blind, willfully blind to who Jesus really is and the truths he teaches. For them, Jesus appears far too ordinary, too available, and too unimportant to be the Messiah. They can't see what's right in front of them, just as the police couldn't see the purloined letter right in front of them in Poe's story. Now, before we judge the Pharisees too harshly, let's ask ourselves if there are things to which we're blind because they seem too ordinary and unimportant. Perhaps it's someone in need we can help. But like the rich man who walks past Lazarus every day, he's there every day, and we become blind to his presence and his need. Or perhaps it's a relationship we need to mend, but we've held on to a grievance and a resentment so long that it's just part of our lives. Or maybe there's a relationship that's harmful to us and one which we need to end, but we become blind to the harm that it's doing. Or perhaps it's a vice, a bad habit, a sin we've lived with for so long that we've just stopped seeing it, although it's right in front of us, like the purloined letter. Or perhaps, like the Pharisees, we become willfully blind to the truth of a teaching of the church, because seeing it would be too inconvenient, and it would mean we would have to change our behavior and our lives. And we human beings resist that. As we journey through the second half of Lent, let us prayerfully ask Jesus to open our eyes to whatever we need to see and change, so that, like the blind man Jesus cured, we can see him more clearly, love him more dearly, and follow him more nearly every day of our life. God love you.